Well, hello and welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams, and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys listening to the sound of my voice. And also wish you peace, love, and happiness. I am still on a high right now. I'll explain why in a second. But I hope everyone's having a good week. Hope you're all prospering, going after your goals, crushing it, and realizing your true self. As I've always said, I believe our purpose in life is to find our gift, explore it, develop it, and share it with the world. So I hope you all are doing well in those exploits. Yesterday, time of recording this, I didn't record yesterday because on September 17th is my wedding anniversary. Me and my wife have been married for 9 years. Wow, I can't believe we're like the old folks as far as married couples go. And for the first time in my life, I've probably experienced the best steak I have ever cooked. I can't even explain it. So let me tell you the situation. So for years, I've been kind of semi-obsessed with Gordon Ramsay's beef Wellington recipe, right? I've never tried to make it because it looks so intimidating to me. I don't want to get like this expensive cut of meat and kind of mess it up by not knowing what I'm doing. So I go to Wegmans yesterday to try and find I was actually going to take the plunge. I was actually going to buy the beef tenderloin. I was going to buy the mushrooms and mustard sauce. And I was going to do my thing for this beef Wellington. But when I get to Wegmans over in their meat department, I see Wagyu steak. Now, if you're not familiar with Wagyu steak, apparently, and I've just become recently aware of this in the last couple of years, though, but this is supposedly the most tender steak that you can find. It's a specific Japanese cattle. And it's a couple of different breeds. I think there's like four breeds that are considered Wagyu. And these cows, the woman at Wegmans was telling me that these cows are like spoiled. They're like on a dairy diet their entire lives. They get like deep tissue massages their entire life. I mean, these are like some really, really special cows. And the meat is rather expensive. I mean, we're talking, Wegmans had a strip steak Wagyu beef yesterday, and that thing was $159 a pound for that steak. So this is some really expensive steak. But let me tell you something. I didn't get that, by the way. They had these Wagyu iron cut steaks, and they were thinner, and they were considerably smaller than the strip. But boy, when I tell you, I cooked that up. At first, I made it in a little marinade with a little rice vinegar, a little olive oil, soy sauce, and some garlic. Marinated it for 3 or 4 hours. Put that thing in a skillet. When I tell you that is the most tender steak I have ever had in my life. And this is obviously not something that you go and eat on a regular basis. I mean, unless you're just balling out of control like that. In further investigation, I've seen steaks that go for like 250 to 300 pounds, like for one 10-ounce steak. So you're talking about some super expensive meat. I was able to find it at Wegmans yesterday. You know, it's like they did take, I believe it was several years ago, they did bring one bull over from Japan to the United States to start like a family line of Wagyu cows. And that's kind of where Wegmans gets their stock from. So it's not the actual Japanese that I had yesterday. It was like the American, strand. The Japanese cows, like you can only get those certain amount of times per year. It's really, really, it's even more expensive than the prices that I've touted before. So if you get a chance, look up Wagyu steak, W-A-G-Y-U. And you can find a little more information. But if you ever get the chance, I would highly suggest splurging, spoiling yourself, even if you just do it one time in your life. That was the best steak I've ever had in my life. It was, you didn't even need a knife. It was basically melting, tender, like the tenderest steak you could ever imagine. I cooked it medium, so really medium, almost medium rare. Like it was just beautifully cooked. We paired it with this wine, this Rickard Merlot. And that came from the wine club that I'm a part of, by the way. So a perfect example of being exposed to what would be considered the finer things in life. And like I said, I only heard about Wagyu beef probably within like the last year. But apparently it's something that, you know, people like Chef Ramsay and of course I'm drawing a blank on the other celebrity chefs. But celebrity chefs use this kind of on a regular basis. But it's not something that you can like train with. Like if you've got like a chef who doesn't know what they're doing and they're trying to cut up the meat and they kind of butcher it, like they don't take kindly to people that don't know what they're doing with it. So that's kind of why I was apprehensive about trying it, because I knew how expensive it was. At Wegmans, I was able to find a little bit cheaper cut. I didn't pay for that strip that was really pricey. Even though what I did get was kind of expensive. But man, it was just an amazing experience. So I've always touted, get out and get some experiences, get out and try things, get out and do new things. And sometimes don't worry about how much it costs. Just get out and experience things. So let's just like with that steak, just like with the wine club that I'm a part of. And let me tell you, there's something funny is happening too in our household, because when I first met my wife, she was the fruity white wine type of gal. Like she didn't want to drink anything red. I was more of the red wine drinker. Like I would experiment with the different red wines. I have converted her to loving Cabernet Sauvignon. And then after this Merlot that she tried last night, like I think she's more open to trying Merlot. So man, it's all about getting out and getting some experiences, trying different things. And then you'll find out, like, man, there's some things that I swore off that I said I would never like, and I kind of like it now. So that's where she is. Like, now she only drinks red wine. Like, I've converted her from strictly Moscato, because she didn't even really like Chardonnay either, but strictly Moscato, and now she's really open to trying, like, different wines. And like I said, with this wine club, we get 4 bottles of wine every month, and she's not letting me on. She's not letting on too much, but I think she's really enjoying trying out these different wines with me too. So just wanted to throw that out there. Say happy anniversary to my wife. She's probably not listening to this podcast, but 9 years strong. We've been together for much longer than that, actually, but the actual marriage has been 9 years. And it's been a journey. I'll tell you what. Tell you one thing, it has been a journey. And what we're going through now with our son getting back into the school thing, doing this online school, it's like he's always here. I don't know, for those of us that have kids and they're in that school age, I don't know, sometimes you get used to having your kids out of the house for those couple of hours while they're in school and you can kind of get some things done. You can run around the house in your drawers and belt out your favorite song to the radio. Like, I can't do that now. Like he's in school and the teacher is kind of having her way, so she's the one with the voice in the house during school hours. So anyway, we're kind of going through that. And let me tell you one other thing. One thing I don't think people understand dealing with children is that, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about, I'll dress my kids in so-and-so wear and they'll wear the best shoes and, you know, like really, really silly things to me. Well, no, actually they are silly things, no matter which way you look at it. But when it comes to actually dealing with a child, you're dealing with a whole nother person. A person who might not like the same things that you like. A person that might not want to go in the direction that you think they're going to go. Like a lot of people, I think before they have children, they have in their minds, like, my kid's going to do this and be this and wear this and like this type of music. It's not going to go down like that. That kid is going to have their own personality and their own likes and their own dislikes. And another thing I don't think people realize is how much is necessary to pour into another little person in order to make them a decent human being. Like, it takes so much patience. It takes so much love. It takes so much sacrifice. And I think a lot of people don't understand that until they actually have kids. And and even if you have more than one child, like, your children are going to be different. Like, there's things that I'm going through with my son that I never had to go through with my daughter. Now, it could be, you know, times are different, the way they're raised, the fact that one's female and one's male, like, all of those go into consideration. But my son is, like, really, I don't want to say emotionally needy, but he needs, like, a whole lot of extra attention I don't even know if I can even put it into words. Like, he just needs more and different things than what my daughter needed when she was at this age. And like I said, it's something that I don't think people really realize until they actually have a child. Like, there's a lot that needs to go into us as people through our young formative years. And I think a lot of times people just kind of like, you know, my kid's going to want to be an athlete and he's going to want to play basketball and his favorite color is going to be red, you know, things like that. But like I said, your child's going to be something that you way out of left field. And that's why another reason why I say it doesn't do any good to be like homophobic or against trans people or anything that you might think that you would be against, because your child might turn out to be that thing that you dislike so much. So, man, empathy, guys, that's what I'm talking about here. Being able to see things from another person's perspective and knowing that other people are not going to be into the same thing that you're in, even if you live in the same house with them, even if you raise them, like, they're not going to be interested in those same things. So he is having a little bit of a rough time with this online learning, as I think a lot of the students are, man. It's like, you know, kids need that social interaction, especially at this young age. And I don't think this is going to go on forever. I'm just talking about it now because that's what I'm going through with my son. But he's not getting what he needs right now because we are at home. Like, not getting outside and like doing the normal playing. This summer, there are a lot of restrictions on where we could go. Like, pools weren't open. Like, it was a whole bunch of stuff that we had to deal with. So he's having a little bit of a rough time, but you know, we'll get through it. We'll push through it. And the only thing that we can do as parents is give our children love and direction. And I believe allow them to make their own decisions and not try to push them into what you want them to be. So, and I know that might be a struggle for some people because, you know, some people really value, I don't know, what other people might think of their family. So they want their child to go into certain professions or be certain things, you know, that type of thing. And I think people try to push their beliefs and push their likes and their dislikes on their child, you know, but your child is going to come out and be their own person. Like, much like my daughter is right now. She's a grown person. She's going to do her own thing. But the only thing that I can do as a parent is be there and guide her, be there to support her, be there to give her advice when she asks for it. You know, and just let her know that whatever she's going through, like, I am here, which is the same thing I'm doing for my son, but you know, he's a lot younger, so I got to come at it a different way. So anyway, wanted to get that stuff out of there. That stuff was kind of on my chest. Something else being that we are getting into the school year, and what I want to talk about in this podcast is the sports things that's starting up. Now, I know right now there's a lot of controversy surrounding NBA, NFL, NHL, like all the major sports league, and it seems like we can't get a handle on things. But one thing I do want to talk about is like how people pay attention to that stuff. And I'll tell you what I mean when I come back. I'm going to take a quick break, have a couple of, you know, paid messages here and there, and I'll be right back. And I want to talk about statistics, and I'll let you know what I mean when I get back. So see you guys in just a minute. All right, well, welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with me. And one more side note, I think it's really hilarious. If you've been following anything in technology news, you know that Apple just had their announcement and they announced, you know, the new iPads, new Apple Watches and things like that. So on that very same day, that night, after that that keynote ended, my Apple Watch broke. And I mean, like, it broke. Like, the face fell off. And I just think that's just kind of hilarious. On the same day that they announced new Apple Watches, the Series 6 and the Apple Watch SE and the Apple Watch 3 dropping in price. Now, granted, I will say that Apple did make a good product because the Apple Watch that I had was the very first one. I mean, it wasn't even Series 1. It was just the Apple Watch. I've had it for like 5 years, I think, is when it first came out. I'm wearing it every day, wearing it at work, you know, working in the kitchen. It is kind of hard labor. But it's not like easy work. And that watch has been through the ringer with me. And it finally died. So rest in peace, my Apple Watch. So now I guess it's time to get a new one because I've been without it for like 2 days and I feel naked. like it's going to take some time. Like if I don't get a new watch, it's going to take some time for me to get used to not having anything on my wrist. So yeah, man, I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was funny. So what I want to talk about with this section of the podcast, especially with sports ramping back up, is statistics. Now, a lot of people are able to rattle off the stats of their favorite athletes. You know, how many points per game LeBron James had, how many shots he put up in the third quarter, how many free throws he made, so on and so on and so forth. And I know and have known people that are able to pull those stats like in regular basic conversation, like as if they knew the athlete personally. Like, people can tell you what Drew Brees' pass percentage rating was last year. They can tell you how many times he threw like the long ball versus the little short 5-10 yard passes. People are able to tell you how many touchdowns Tom Brady had in the first three games of the season last year. I mean, it's just amazing. Like when sports picks up, how many people are able to keep up with stats of their athletes. And it always gets me thinking, if people put in the same energy keeping up with their own stats, if you keep up with how many times that you were nice to someone in a day, how many times did you block off time to work on your business? How many times were you successful in showing empathy towards somebody and not going off on social media on somebody, but just kind of, you know, leaving it alone instead of going off on social media? How many times did you clean up the house for your significant other or do the chores without being asked? You know, those type of stats. And I think if people really paid more attention to their own personal stats, a lot of people would be a lot further along closer to where they want to be in life. Like, we got all these things that distract us. We got all these things, and they're designed to distract us from ourselves. You know, once you give your energy away to something else, like, that energy's gone. Like, it's gone. So the time that you take researching stats and knowing how many times Kyrie Irving dribbled up the basketball court and broke somebody's ankles before he made a layup. And these aren't things that I'm just pulling out of my head. Like, these are conversations that I've had with people, and they're able to tell me how many times something as ridiculous as that has happened. And I've always thought, man, like, are these athletes putting money in your pocket? Are these athletes, like, taking care of your children? Are these athletes giving your child life advice? Like how much help is this really creating for you? And I know people, we all need releases. I know we all have those things that we give ourselves over to. I'm not saying don't have that thing. I'm just saying strike that balance. Like, have your own self in order. Have your stats straight for yourself before you start worrying about stats of somebody else. And I've always wondered, am I the only one that kind of thinks that way? Or is there, would that be considered out of line on my part? I really want to hear your ideas on this. I know my sports heads guys, they're going to be like, well, this is what I do. I keep stats. I've kept stats on athletes for years. Even though I don't work at ESPN, like, so, I mean, some of these guys, their conversations would rival First Take on ESPN. They'd be able to get up there and debate with the likes of Stephen A. Smith or Kerry Champion or something like that. But keep in mind, though, that the more energy that you use to something else that's really not giving you anything back, that's energy that you're wasting. That's energy that could be used to uncover your gift or your talent, which is there, which is just hidden. It's just undercover of some things. That is energy taken away from furthering your goal, from chasing after your goal. If you want to become a millionaire, I've read about lots of super successful people. And one common thread that I hear, number one, they don't watch TV. And number two, if they pay attention to sports, it's just kind of their entertainment outlet. It's not like they pay attention to all of the details, all of the intimate facts and figures and numbers. That's kind of like a reward for them keeping themselves in line. So super successful people, like I said, number one, they stay away from TV, stay away from the news, stay away from social media. And it's all about that energy that they give over to that thing. They don't want to waste that energy that they give over on anything else other than furthering their own interests, furthering their business, getting their marriage in order, getting their relationship with their kids in order. And like I said, the energy that you have, that's not a never ending resource. Like you kind of run through that, especially day to day periods. You've got energy that you give, that you give away to certain things, and you have a finite amount of it. So keep that in mind as you're enjoying your sports this particular year. A lot of people they're kind of not watching sports for whatever reason, whether it has to do with politics or whatever. Sports has really become a contentious issue this year. A lot of people are boycotting the NFL. A lot of people have totally given up on the NBA because of maybe political beliefs or the social changes that are going on right now. It's putting sports in a very tough position, I think. So maybe these particular years, it might not be a lot of stats followers going on as there have been in previous years. I tend to leave that the stat checking and the stat keeping to the sports professionals. But yeah, man, this is like a tough time for sports. So let me know in some comments. Are you guys paying attention to sports? Have you gotten just totally pissed off with your favorite sport and vowed to never watch it again? Like, I know people that have watched the NFL for decades, for years, and this year they're like, I'm not watching that mess. Has something to do maybe with players kneeling for the flag, or maybe it has something to do with whatever league not putting a stopper to athletes speaking up, which I always found weird. People think that just because these athletes have a lot of money or they have a lot of things, that it shields them from social issues that's going on. If you're black and you have a lot of money and you have influence or you have even power, that does not shield you from racial injustice. That does not keep things that are going on in the black community that we have to deal with. Money does not block that from affecting you. There was a story a couple years ago where even Oprah Winfrey was denied entrance into a jewelry store, and it was a racial issue. But the people that were working in the jewelry store, they didn't recognize that it was Oprah. They just thought she was just some black woman trying to get into the store. They told her she had to go. She couldn't be in there. And there was no other reason other than she was black and she looked like she didn't have any money. And that's a real thing that happened. So just because you're well off, and it goes even if you're white or black, even if you're well off, that does not shield you from bad stuff happening to you. And I think a lot of people think that athletes or people in power or people that have just like a lot of things, bad things can happen to them and they should be able to just get over it because they have all of this stuff. No, that doesn't work like that. Like, if you got a lot of money and you're black and you still get racially profiled by the police, they don't care whether you have money. A lot of times in those situations, either they don't know that you have money or they really don't care. And they kind of want to use you as your, I don't know what's going on with people that that profile people of color. But I mean, like, that doesn't matter to them. They don't see the money that you have. They see your skin color. So, like I said, man, it's a lot of things up in the air with the sports world. So my suggestion and what I normally do, because I want to further my own life and my own business and my own plans, I don't have time or energy to pay attention to how many points LeBron James had in a particular game. Even when I was a fan of basketball, even when I was watching Michael Jordan and the Bulls, I would watch them, but I wouldn't be able to tell you how many points MJ had in a particular game, or how many blocks Scottie Pippen had, or how many assists BJ Armstrong had. Like, maybe it's just I've never been that type of person to really be caught up in other people's stats. I've always been more worried about my own stats. So, perfect time to bring up the uplifting words Mastermind Productivity Journal is a perfect way for you to begin recording your own statistics and keeping up with the shots that you make versus the shots that you miss type of deal. And I want to encourage everyone, let's pay attention to our own stats. And I believe all of our lives will be a lot better. So that's what I have for you guys today. I hope you got some value out of this. I hope you understand where I'm coming from as far as, you know, keeping your own stats versus paying attention to other people's stats. Because this world as we know it is quickly changing. Like, we don't know where we're going to be in the next couple of months. We don't know if we're going to be in another lockdown. We don't know if the economy is going to crash under the weight of everything going on. Let me tell you something. I just got the news that the ban for TikTok and WhatsApp goes into effect on Sunday. And Sunday is what, the 20th? The 21st, somewhere in that area of September? So there are people that have built up, that have amassed a huge following on those social media networks, and they now have to pivot and go in a different direction. There are people that are selling stuff on TikTok. They're selling goods. They're selling services. They're providing links to maybe their blog or maybe their own website, and they've used TikTok as a way to build it up. TikTok is not just a site for kids to dance to the latest music craze. There are a lot of people that were using it for business, and those people now have to pivot and have to, you know, do something else. So it's a lot of uncertainties going on here, and I think now is a perfect time for us to start paying attention to our own stats, to be honest. But like I said, for those of you that have TikTok, do you agree with the ban? Do you think it's a good idea? I personally do not. I think that the president threw a temper tantrum because that one rally where they thought they were going to sell it out, and it turns out that a bunch of kids kind of got together on TikTok and made it seem like a lot of those tickets were sold, and of course nobody showed up. That is when the president started talking about banning TikTok. So for the people that are out there that are actually using it for business purposes, legitimate business purposes, I wish you all well in finding like the next thing. I mean, you have to jump back maybe to Instagram or to Twitter or however you're using to get your business message out there, because TikTok was not the only social media outlet. It's just something that, you know, people who are industrious and entrepreneurial are going to have to work around. So But like I said, that's what I have for you guys today. Thank you very much for joining me. Don't forget, check me out on my various forms of social media. I actually never got into TikTok because I was under the impression that it was just a little kids dancing to the latest music craze type deal. But you know, as I started to look into it more, I started to recognize and follow people that were actually doing business things, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen, where these people go. And like I said, perfect time to keep up with your own stats to get your stuff in order, because there's so much uncertainty right now. The only certainty that we have is what each and every one of us are doing and how to keep up with our own selves and our own family. So thank you very much, guys, for joining me. Have a wonderful, great weekend. Oh, yeah, my social media. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram at Corsi the Wine Lover. That's where I took pictures of that amazing Wagyu steak that I had for our anniversary dinner. If you want to see some of those, man, that thing turned out really well. But thank you very much for joining me. Have a wonderful weekend. I will see you guys in the next one.